I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Amos, chapter 8. Now, if you happen to have a Bible like I got, you can turn in the Old Testament to page 1147. 1147. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, no rational person can fail to be moved with compassion at the sight of suffering that is endured by those in a place that is plagued with a natural famine. You know, these pictures come on TV and different ones, and so these children that are suffering. And that, it's horrible. It's horrible. I know. But as dreadful as a famine would be in any land, there is revealed in this passage of Scripture a more alarming famine than even a natural famine. And here's what it is. Of hearing the words of the Lord. Amos was a prophet that was sent to the nation of Israel. That's where God was sending the prophets. All the prophets went to the nation of Israel. Now you think about the mercy of God, the grace of God that would send a little country like Israel. God chose to bless the nation of Israel. And He sent, He gave His law to Moses, to the nation of Israel. He sent prophets to the nation of Israel. He gave the priest the tabernacle, the sacrifices to Israel. And He sent this word through a prophet named Amos. He said, the days come that I'm going to send a famine in the land. He says, not going to be of food and water. He says, you're going to have plenty to eat, plenty to drink. Your businesses are going to do well. You're going to be able to live in prosperity. But I'm going to send a famine, not of those outward things. But it's going to be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And the word that He used when He said, I'm going to send a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, it's not a word that means you won't be able to actually hear the words being preached. But He said, what I'm going to do is, He said, I'm going to send you a famine concerning being able to hear those words with attention and with interest. And with a heart. What He's saying is this. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you want. Now I want to make something vitally clear right now. Because I don't want anybody thinking, you know, what where is this going? What's the deal here? Now listen. I want you to understand that in the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel was a picture. It was a type of God's true Israel, the true church. And found within natural Israel, back in the Old Testament, the country, those Jewish people, found within the nation of Israel were, just like today, two different types of people in Israel. There were two different types of people in Israel, sheep and goats. God's elect and those that God was pleased to leave to themselves. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's sheep and wheat. There's wheat and tares right now. Now, I'm going to be honest with you in the preparing of this message. This very well may be one of the most convicting messages that I've ever prepared for me. One of the most convicting. Just like there were sheep and goats, wheat and tares in that nation, it's the same thing today. So whenever we hear that God's going to send a famine of bread, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, I can tell you this, and I'm going to bring this out in this message. He's telling his people, he said, I will never forsake you. I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you to yourself. I will never leave you destitute. Never, never, never. But there are some that God said, I'm going to send a famine to you. May the Lord be pleased to have mercy on this sinner right here. There were some found within the nation of Israel when the word of the Lord was sent. It was evident whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And who did he go to first? Well, he went to the house of Israel. That's where he went. That's where he went. He was born in Bethlehem, and he preached within the nation of Israel. That's who he preached to. Now, let me ask you this. How many heard the words of the Lord? Well, all of them. They were all in the synagogues. I mean, they went to the synagogues on the Sabbath day because that was the law. That was what they were to do. They went to the, and they heard the scriptures read. They heard the scriptures read. They all heard them read. They raised their kids up. Those kids went to church. Where are you going to be on Saturday? You're going to be in church. That's where you're going to be. They all heard the word. But it became evident that when the Lord Jesus Christ went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, some of them heard what he was saying and rejected it. Would not. But there were some blind Bartimaeuses, and there were some Zacchaeuses, and there were some Saul of Tarsuses, and there were some like that the Lord was pleased to call out of darkness. But there were some that heard the same words that were being preached. And they said this, I'm not going to hear what you have to say. To those, the Lord speaks when he says, I'm going to send a famine. Now, based on what I just told you now, let's hear what God has to say concerning this truth. And may the Lord teach us through his word, and may we hear the word of the Lord, and may the Lord revive his people. Because I can tell you this, we're all prone, all of us, All of God's sheep are prone to laxness. That's one of the greatest fears that I... Well, that is. That's the greatest fear that I got. That's the greatest fear that I've got. What the Lord is going to bring out. Finding myself and seeing myself having a leanness. Now listen, let's just look at this for a few minutes. Amos chapter 8, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. He sent the word to Israel. And obviously there were some that received not his word. And this is what he said. I am not going to pass by them in correcting chastisement. I'm going to leave them alone and execute vengeance by sending a spiritual famine. Now, that is a word of utter hopelessness now. He said, Amos, that basket of summer fruit, that fruit that will decay very quickly. What are you seeing? I see that summer fruit. He said, that decaying fruit that you're looking at is going to be a symbol of my people that I've sent the word to and they've refused to hear. He said, I'm not going to chasten them anymore. When my kids were growing up, I've told you before, I would tell them, I said, now let me tell you what it's going to be. For disobedience, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. If I were to have told one of them one day, I'm not going to spank you anymore. You just go do what you want to do, and you'll be whatever you do, you'll do that. And I'm going to deal with these three over here. Now the three other ones I'm going to deal with, but now I'm going to leave you alone. You go do what you want to do, and don't come back to me for anything anymore. Can you imagine? This is what the Lord told him. He said, I'm not going to pass by them anymore in chastisement. Oh, dear hearer, does that strike fear within your heart? Fear that God would leave you alone? Leave you to yourself? If you fear God leaving you to yourself, you're a blessed person. I don't want the Lord to leave me alone. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I need some discipline. I need chastisement. I need His loving hand of chastisement upon me. Lord, don't let me go the way I naturally would, because I know what I'm doing. I'll leave, but who the Lord loves, He chastens everyone that He receives. And if you be without chastisement, what do you mean? That you'll never get sick? Everybody gets sick. Believers get cancer too. Believers go through financial trouble too, just like everybody else. The chastisement that the Lord sends is a chastening in the heart. I've disobeyed God. I have done that which is unpleasing. If Almighty God leaves me alone, I don't have any hope. And I know this, that He's going to do it to somebody. Lord, have mercy on me. He says in verse 3 concerning those that care not for His glory and honor. He says, the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. They're not even going to be buried. Just no care for them is what he's saying. What do you mean the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day? Do you know I grew up in a church that sang the songs of the grace of God? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know when I first started singing that song? I thought about that tall. I sang that song. I sang 222. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I sang that song and I never knew what it meant. The songs of the temple. The songs of the grace of God. The mercy of God. And he said, y'all, sing those songs. He said, the songs of the temple. But he said, I'll tell you what it's going to be in one day. It's going to be howlings in that day. When those songs that you sang, where you stood in congregations and sang, he said, it won't be songs of praise in that day. And then there's a great warning to those, and I'm talking to those that sit under the sound of the gospel. I'm saying, well, you know, all those other people out there, you know, all those other congregations. Let me tell you who I'm talking to. Let me tell you who the Lord's talking to. He's talking to those that sit under the sound of the gospel. So don't worry about talking about everybody else. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. He's talking to those who stand in pulpits and who absolutely set forth that which is seemingly right but have no heart for it. You say, you're telling me that a man can stand in a pulpit and preach the words of Zion? Yeah. Have you ever known anybody that stood in a pulpit and preached the words of the gospel but left? That preached the word of the gospel. I can tell you for a fact that I can come up with an outline that is scripturally right, and you can't find one thing wrong with it. I'm talking about a scriptural message, but if Almighty God has not given me a heart for it, as Brother Henry said, it's just words. It's just words. But for a man to stand in the pulpit and to preach, even though he's preaching the truth, the Lord says, I'm going to reveal your heart. Now this is scary to me. You say, well, Marvin, you're just preaching. No, I'm telling you the truth now. That's what Henry, I heard Henry say that. He said, I'm not preaching to you, and I'm telling you the truth now. There is, from experience, I have seen men that at one time stood in places and left. And left. It's not just those that sit in the congregation. I know of preachers that have left. Here's what the Lord has to say to them. I'm talking about to me or you or anybody else that have stood in pulpits. It's a great, great responsibility to stand in a pulpit and to preach the gospel. The greater condemnation is going to come to those that have stood in pulpits and have set forth God's word with this attitude. Verses 4 to 6, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances of deceit? That we may buy the poor for silver and for needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuge for wheat. The Lord has set forth that there are those that will even stand in pulpit merchandisers of men's souls. Preachers that stand and say, when is all of this going to be over with so that I can go through and continue with my business? The business of making merchandise of men's souls. Just a job. It's just, when can we continue making money? And the Lord said, I heard what you said in your heart. And listen to what He's got to say to them. I'm telling you, pray for me. Pray for me. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Verse 7. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, or He who is the excellent one of Jacob. The Lord Himself has said, verse 7, surely I will never forget any of their works. I know this. Almighty God has sworn according to His oath. He's sworn by no greater. He said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Compassion on whom I'll have compassion. I know this, the one who forgets the sins of his people has forgiven those sins. But that he would say, I will never forget your works. What fearful words of condemnation that Almighty God would send a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord, and then would say to those that would stand in pulpits who may proclaim words of truth, but then say in their hearts, I'll be glad when this is over with so I can get back to, once I fulfill my obligation right here, I'll be glad when tomorrow gets here or this afternoon, services will be over. You know, then I've got the rest of the day. I can do what I want to do now. Lord, help me. Obviously, there are men who stand in pulpits, preachers, that Almighty God are going to hold accountable for their works. I just read it, and I know it's so. But then listen to these words, verses 8 to 10. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and it shall rise up wholly as a flood. It shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. Now when the Lord says, I'm going to send, the sun's going to go down at noon. I'm going to send a day when I'm going to darken the earth in that day. What is He saying? He is setting forth here that He's going to cause. You know this scripture, before I make that statement. You know this scripture? If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What does He mean? I can understand. I can tell you, and I'll bet you everybody in this congregation right here, pretty much, almost everybody, can tell me what the 5 points of Calvinism are. What's the 5 points of Calvinism? Man is totally depraved. Almighty God has unconditionally elected a people. Christ Jesus died only for the elect, limited atonement, particular redemption. Almighty God irresistibly is going to call out His elect, and He's going to persevere them in the faith. Man is depraved. God is an elect people. Christ died for them. The Spirit of God is going to call them out, and He's going to keep them. I understand all 5 points, Neil. I got it right here.
I got it right here. But I can tell you this, if I have no heart for the gospel, I can tell you all 5 points. I can quote scriptures. The Pharisees could quote scriptures. They knew. They searched the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. But if I have no heart for the Word of God, Almighty God says, I'm going to cause the sun to go down at noon to you. The light that you possess is actually darkness. You understand it in your head, but it's eclipsed. When religious activity is carried on with no influence of God's Spirit in the pulpit or the pew, it's nothing more than a sacrifice of fools that's being offered. And services are nothing more. Now here, now listen to me. Listen to me. I had something happen the other day. I heard that someone that I know in this town passed away. And my heart sunk. When I was told this person died, I just wanted to weep because I knew they had no interest in the gospel of God's grace, the only message that God's going to bless. I knew they didn't. They'd said they didn't. And when I heard they died, I thought, oh, no. And as soon as I heard that and grieved, I heard the next day it had been a mistake. They had not died. They were not doing well. But they had not died. And I thought, oh, Lord God of heaven, may it please you to give me one chance to talk to them and say something to them. Lord, if you be pleased, Lord, you can if you will. You can save them. But I thought to myself concerning that attitude, if the services are nothing more than burdens, if prayer is nothing more than a drudgery, I have no heart. I have no heart to start the day reading God's Word. I have no desire whatsoever to pray. If the ordinances, if the partaking of the Lord's table, or the baptism of God's people, the believers called out of darkness, if it's nothing more than just a tiresome ritual, just, oh, may the Lord be pleased to deliver me from that. It is nothing more than just going to church. When is this going to be over with? Isn't he about done? Lord, don't send a famine to me. Lord, if you leave me to myself and you take from me any heart for this message, if you remove from me the very ability to be able to hear, I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve it. But Lord, please don't do it. Here's the greatest of all judgments in this world. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They'll run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Now, you know, I got to thinking, how dreadful the thought that Almighty God would withhold the hearing of the preaching of the gospel justly, that He would withhold it. And where He withholds the proclamation of the message of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ, where He withholds from my understanding the explanation of the Scriptures, where He withholds that from a man's hearing in his heart. He's going to do so absolutely justly, because I'm the one that spitefully treated him so. May the Lord keep us from the abuse of His bounty to send the gospel here. You that believe, let me ask you this. Can you imagine no communion with God? That Almighty God would be silent to you. That you would not be able to pray, not be able to hear, nothing. And here's the sad thing. If God sends a famine, the preaching goes on. The preaching goes on. Ministers continue to preach the truth. But without the power of the Holy Spirit blessing it to your heart. Truth is set forth, but if men are given what they want, and light is deprived of the understanding, deprived of an understanding. That's what Solomon, that's what I said last Thursday night. That's what Solomon asked. The Lord asked Solomon, what you want me to give you? And Solomon said, I pray that you'd give me a heart of understanding, a hearing heart. The Word of God can be read, but if there's no true application of it to the heart by the Holy Spirit, there's a famine. And let me tell you what scares me. I have seen, and if the Lord has given me a glimpse of what it's like to have a famine sent to me, there are times that I have found myself thinking, I'm just too tired. I'm just too tired. I've been so busy. I'll read tomorrow. What if God left me that way, friend? What if I had that attitude? I've just been too busy to seek communion with the Lord. But I got to wondering about that verse 12. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north to the east. They'll run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, shall not be able to find it. I'm thinking to myself, why would those to whom the Lord has sent a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord be said to wander from sea to sea and run to and fro and seek the Lord when they've been sent leanness of heart and it's been revealed to them that they have no desire for the Lord? Why would they go? Why would they go? Why would they go? Now you listen. I know this is so. Man is not without a conscience. And those that have treated the words of the Lord with disrespect, those who have been made in their conscience to perceive God being deprived of God's blessing will go through the motions of seeking His favor. Now let me prove it with two illustrations. Those that cared nothing for the things of God, after God gave them what they wanted, what did Esau do? Esau was the oldest of the two boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau cared nothing for the birthright. You know, what does that mean? What does that mean? What do you mean the birthright? It meant through the one that had the birthright in Israel, the Messiah would come through his lineage. Messiah would come through his lineage. And Esau cared nothing for it. And Jacob said, the Lord did come through Jacob. And Esau said, give me something to eat. And Jacob said, give me your birthright. And Esau said, take it. I don't care. I don't care. Just give me something to eat. I'm going to die if I don't get me something to eat, boy. And Jacob gave it to him. And after Esau realized he had lost his birthright, he started wanting it back. Not because he cared for the things of God, but he wanted back what he saw Jacob now had. He sought it to and fro, sea to sea. How about Judas? What did Judas want? Give me 30 pieces of silver and I'll sell him out to you. And after the Lord was sold out, what did Judas do? Came back to the priest and said, I changed my mind. It's too late. Too late. Listen, those who have no desire now for the hearing of the word, those who care nothing for the things of God, no hunger or thirst after righteousness, listen to me. One day you will. And you won't find it. You won't find it. Here's the greatest of all fears. These last two points are very short. Here's the greatest of all fears. Here's the greatest of all fears to me. That God would send me a famine. Psalm 28:1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Let me tell you this. Those that fear God being silent to them, those that fear it. Now, if it doesn't matter to you right now, I pray God have mercy on you. I pray God have mercy on me. But those that fear being left in silence to Almighty God, know Him. You know Him. I'm going to give you some comfort here. If it matters to you, Almighty God has done something for you. If you realize something of the frailty of your own flesh, the fear of being found in a spiritual famine with no regard for the things of God, if you find yourself fearing that, you're a blessed person. Believers perceive something of the possibility of God sending a famine to them. But they cry out for mercy. What are you going to find a believer doing? Listen, David, as I come to the end of this, listen to what David said. Now here's a believer. This is a believer's heart. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, I am guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of everything. I'm guilty, Lord, of treating you with disrespect. Lord, I've done the same thing that those that don't love you, that don't care for you, Lord, I've done the same thing they have. But Lord, that you wouldn't charge me with it. That you wouldn't impute my guilt to me. And you would leave another to be charged with his guilt. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Lord, I haven't done anything any differently than those that you've left to themselves. Lord, if you send famine to one and you pass by them, and you give not chastising love to them, and you show it to me, and I've done the same things that they've done, and there's not an ounce of difference in them and me but the grace of God, Lord, thank you. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit of instruction, of teaching, of correction. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I deserve anything that you give me, but I'm asking you right now, Lord, don't send a famine to me. Have mercy on this congregation. And here's my last point. The greatest mercy. The greatest mercy. My God says to His people, I shall supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to listen to this, the greatest word of comfort. Now, you're talking to a guilty sinner right here. You're looking at him. I don't know. I don't know where you are. But let me tell you where I am. I have treated him disrespectfully. I'm not looking at you saying y'all shouldn't have done that. I'm saying I shouldn't have done it. But Almighty God would give me a heart to cry out for mercy. Him that cometh to me, I'm not going to cast out. Lord, don't cast me out. Lord, these sheep, have mercy on them. I want you to listen to this precious word of mercy to God's people. I'm talking about guilty people. Ain't nobody in here not guilty. Ain't nobody in here blameless. And nobody in here has not done exactly what God judged some for. Only difference is the grace of God. I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nothing good in us. So let's don't get all high and mighty and think, well, I tell you what, I'm glad I stayed faithful. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's by the grace of God that God's kept us. But you listen to this word of comfort. Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 21. Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you. The Lord is going to be waiting to be gracious. And will be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. You know who mercy comes to? Guilty people. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. Now listen to these next words. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. That's what David was doing. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, wash me thoroughly. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he'll answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know what the Lord has said? He said, for you that I've everlastingly loved, for you that I've given a heart for me, for you that cry out for mercy and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm the guilty party. I'm not good in myself, and I know I'm not good in myself. Lord, I'm asking you for mercy. I'm asking you to, Lord, forgive me. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He said, I'm not going to take your teachers away from you. I'm going to send the gospel to you. And I'm going to give you a heart to believe it. And I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to teach you. I'm going to send a famine to those that I'm going to leave to themselves. Those that will not hear. And I know this. If he left me to myself, I'd do the same thing. But for those that he's everlastingly loved in Christ, he said, I'm going to have mercy to you. Now, let me ask you this. I gave you this the other day. I'm going to tell you again. I've been studying this last Thursday night. How can I know that I might have a part in God's mercy? Can I have any kind of hope that God's done something for me? There was a man named Manoah. I'll just rehearse what I just told you Thursday night. And his wife was barren. His wife couldn't have children. And the angel of the Lord that came to her was the angel of the covenant himself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and he told Manoah's wife. He said, you're going to have a son. You're going to bear. She's barren. She couldn't have kids. He said, you're going to bear a son. You know what her son's name was? Samson. Samson was sent by God to be a judge, a ruler in Israel. He said, I'm going to give you a boy. And Manoah's wife came and told Manoah. She said, this man came, told him that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah asked if the angel of the Lord might come back. This man might come back. And the Lord did come back and met with him. And Manoah asked him his name. And Manoah, when he asked his name, the angel says, my name is Secret. That is Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Manoah offered, and his wife offered unto the Lord an offering. And the Scripture says, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. If that would not have been the Lord Jesus Christ, had been an angel, that angel would have never ascended in that sacrifice. That was given unto the Lord. That was the Lord himself. And this is what Manoah said. We've seen the Lord. We're going to die. We're going to die because we've seen God. And this is what Manoah's wife said. And this is the word of comfort to God's people this morning. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Almighty God was pleased to have killed you, let me tell you what he would have done. He would have left you alone. He would have left you alone. Left you to yourself. If Almighty God has given you a heart tender to the things of God, tender to the mercy of God, tender to recognize your need of forgiveness. Here again, I'm talking to guilty sinners here. I'm talking to guilty sinners. If you see yourself in need, and the Lord's given you a heart to cry out for mercy, you're a blessed person. The Lord has not left you to yourself. You call out for mercy unto the Lord, and He will have mercy. He said, I will. He delights to show mercy. If Almighty God's given you a concern for Him, I'm so thankful. I pray He do so for me, for Christ's sake. Amen.